In a few weeks' time, we're going to be starting a new series. We haven't done a new series in a little while now, and we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Peter. But having had Easter last week, and then breakfast church next week, and then the AGM the week after, I didn't want us to rush straight into that new series today. I also wanted to have a chance to round off what we were doing before Easter, which was looking at vision. We were particularly looking at a vision of being present, a vision of being in partnership, and a vision of being prayerful. So this morning I want to speak about this passage from Numbers chapter 9. This is a passage that until a couple of weeks ago I'd only heard once or twice before. But as I've read it over the past few weeks, God has revealed a few important lessons that I think are helpful to us as a church as we continue to discern God's direction for the future. But I also think this is a useful passage for us as individuals, as we are all on a journey through life with God, and we all seek his guidance as we go about our lives. This passage also fits quite nicely into where we are in our calendar in this time of year. The passage is set following the Exodus. The Israelites, having escaped from Egypt with Moses, have now been in the wilderness for 2 years. In the first half of the chapter, just before the bit that Nick read to us, God instructs Moses and the Israelites to celebrate the Passover feast. This is the story that we retold on Maundy Thursday at our meal, if you were there. And it's significant during this period of Easter that we've just celebrated. As Jesus broke bread and poured out wine at the Last Supper, he drew the comparison between the blood of the Lamb, through which God saved the Israelites from death and delivered them out of Egypt, and his own blood, which was poured out on the cross to save and deliver us from sin and from death and into eternal life. Today's passage follows directly on from God's instruction to the Israelites to celebrate Passover. This wouldn't have been an easy time for them. It wouldn't have been an easy celebration to have, because despite being free from slavery now in Egypt, the Israelites now find themselves in the middle of a desert. They're still suffering in many ways. They still haven't reached the promised land where God is taking them. The Passover would have reminded them of God's faithfulness in the past. But what about the present day? When would God deliver them from the wilderness? When would they arrive at the land that he'd promised to them? What they didn't know is that they had another 38 years of travelling ahead of them until they would reach their final destination. Interestingly, this journey should never have taken that long. I looked on Google Maps and it tells me that if I were to walk from Cairo in Egypt to Jerusalem, I could do it, if I walked non-stop, I could do it in about a week. We need to make allowances for roads being slightly better today and the invention of sat-nav. But this journey still should never have taken 40 years. Surely God could have taken them a shorter route if he'd wanted to. But perhaps this was part of God's plan for his people. Maybe there were lessons that he wanted them to learn along the way that they wouldn't have learned if God had taken them an easier route. The question I ask myself in reading this passage is, how often do I want to rush to the final destination, the place where I really want to be, where I want to get to, without allowing God to lead me in the journey along the way, to teach me the lessons that he wants me to learn? How many of us, if we were offered a transportation machine that could instantly take us anywhere in the world, would refuse? Wouldn't it be great not to have to drive to visit family? Not to have to queue in an airport or go through passport control and sit in a long thin tube thousands of metres off the ground for hours on end with a whole load of people that we don't know. We would all love to skip the journey and arrive instantly at our destination. I'm sure the Israelites would have loved to have avoided 40 years in the wilderness. But it was through this journey that they learned so much about their faith. This story is still a foundation of both the Jewish and the Christian faith. Through the travelling, the suffering, and the waiting, the Israelites learned so much more about the God they worshipped. I actually think we'd be a lot worse off if we had a transportation machine. Looking back at my life, some of the best experiences I've had have involved travelling, flying to Thailand when I went on a mission trip, going to Vietnam with Esther on holiday are two experiences that really stand out to me. And a big part of those experiences was the journey, the excitement and the anticipation of the travelling there, not knowing what I was going to experience when I get there in a different culture. Also, some of the best conversations I've ever had have come with family and friends during long car journeys. When I was growing up, we used to drive a few times every year from Cardiff to Lincolnshire to visit my grandma. And we'd often do the whole 5-hour car journey without stopping. My dad insisted on not stopping unless one of us really needed a wee. These times with my family really stand out in my mind. I have strange memories, like my dad teaching us about why Roman roads are so straight and why they have ditches on either side. And also singing along to a CD of the musical Les Mis, and my parents teaching us what the story's all about. My memories and my upbringing would have been a lot poorer without these experiences of travelling together. I also think these regular 5-hour car journeys before the invention of iPads taught me and probably my parents a lot about patience as well. So earlier I suggested that I would be able to get from Cairo to Jerusalem a lot more easily today than the Israelites did then, because I have modern technology on my side. I could put it in my sat-nav and it would show me the way. The Israelites had to rely on a slightly different form of navigation. They were following a cloud, and it wasn't an iCloud. Today's... I know, good pun. Good joke, wasn't it? I thought of that one myself. Today's passage tells us that on the day they set up the tabernacle, which was their portable temple, a cloud covered it. Whenever the cloud lifted, the Israelites would pack up their stuff and they would move on. Whenever the cloud settled, they would stop and set up camp. I'm not fully sure how this navigation system worked. I don't know whether they were following the cloud and it was directing them, or the cloud just lifted and they wandered and the cloud floated over them, and when it descended, they stopped. But either way, they relied on this cloud that God had placed over the temple to show them the way to the promised land. The cloud would settle and they would set up camp. It would rise and they would move on. As we read in the passage, sometimes the cloud would settle for a day, sometimes it would settle for a month, sometimes for a year. I'm not sure that's the kind of navigation system we would put our trust in today. But throughout this passage, we read repeatedly that the Israelites obeyed the Lord. They trusted in the Lord, that he was guiding them. This passage has led me to think a bit about how we are guided by God. Two of the most common things I get asked as a minister is, why can't I hear from God? And why won't God just show me what I should do? One of the hardest experiences of our faith is seeking after God and feeling like we can't find an answer. It can feel as if we're wandering in the wilderness, not knowing where God will lead us next. The advice that I've often been given by other Christians is to wait patiently for God to answer. And God will lead us when the time is right. And I believe that that is the case. But that's one of the hardest bits of advice to receive when you feel like you're in one of these wilderness times, lost and lacking direction. So what does this passage that we've got today teach us about allowing God to guide us as we journey through the wilderness? Well, the first thing it teaches us is that often God will only guide us in the next step. He takes us one step at a time. In the journey the Israelites take, they never know where they're going next. They wait, and when the cloud lifts, they take the next step. They walk, and when the cloud descends, they stop. I wonder what would have happened if God had tried to take them straight from Egypt to the promised land. If there were no smaller steps in between and it was just one quick journey. If it had only taken a couple of weeks. Would they have been prepared for the new life that God was offering to them in that place. They needed this step-by-step journey to teach them how to live as God's people. As they travelled, they learned how to pray, how to listen to God, how to trust in God. They learned how to argue with God and lament as well. This was a difficult time that they were going through. They learned how to have a relationship, a real relationship with their Father God. They also likely learned a lot about living in peace with each other during this time. I'm sure there were many fallings out as they travelled through the wilderness together. But if they could survive this difficult time, perhaps this was great preparation for them living together in the promised land. Looking at the way God has led me in my life, I initially felt God calling me to be a minister when I was 16 years old. I knew that was what God wanted me to do at that point. I didn't know when it would happen. I didn't know how long it would take. But that wasn't something I could do in one big leap and just start being a minister at 16 years old. Many other smaller steps were needed. I had to do my A-levels. I went through a time of doubting whether that was what God wanted me to do. I worked for a church for a year. I completed university. I did Baptist college. I came for an interview here with all of you lovely people. And I didn't know at the start of that journey that I would end up in Ruddington. I didn't even know of Ruddington. I didn't know where it was. And actually, I don't know where God is going to lead me in the future either. And I'm sure your stories are similar about God guiding you step by step. The place that you've ended up in today, you probably never knew that you would be in 5 years ago. God leads us step by step through life, teaching us and guiding us so that we can cope with the changes and new experiences that he has in store. We can push on the doors, but God decides whether those doors open. He decides what the next step is. So often we ask God the question, where are you leading me, God? Well, perhaps we should be asking the question, what next, God? Not what's the final destination, but what's the next step you want me to take? There have been other times in my life when I haven't been so certain about where God is guiding me or what I'm meant to do in a particular difficult situation that I'm facing. And in these times, it can feel like you're surrounded by a cloud that you can't see the way forward. Sometimes it can even feel like you've got a bit of a cloud going on in your mind. I imagine this is what it was like for the Israelites. Many of the images relating to this passage, a bit like this one, have pictured a cloud happily sitting above the tabernacle. But actually, when I read this passage, this picture is quite different to what I'd imagined. I pictured a thick fog descending over the tabernacle and covering also the Israelites who are there as well. So that even if they wanted to move on, they wouldn't be able to because they couldn't see further than their own feet. That was just the way that I pictured that image. They would wait for the cloud to lift just enough to be able to take the next step. For those of us who find ourselves in times of waiting, trying to figure out where God is guiding us and leading us next, the advice I believe that we find in this passage is to wait patiently in the fog, in the cloud. And when it begins to lift, when we begin to see a glimpse of the clarity that God has given us, then take the next step. Don't worry about the destination. Instead, just ask the question, what's the next step you want me to take, God? Where's the next place you want me to go? What's the next thing you want me to do? This week at a church leadership team and trustees meeting, we reflected on this same passage, thinking about the direction God is leading us in as a church, following on from the vision day that we had in March. As a church, we share the vision of wanting to have a greater presence in the centre of the village. That was something that people seemed to share on that vision day. That's where we believe God is leading us, but we don't know exactly what that will look like. We don't know how long it will take, and we don't know how we will get there. The possibilities for the future are really exciting, but we have to be careful not to think too far ahead and instead allow God to take us one step at a time, because it's as we take one step at a time that God teaches us and we have lessons to learn, discussions to have, things to figure out along the way. But I actually find real encouragement in this passage from Numbers chapter 9. It gives us a helpful reminder that we shouldn't rush ahead and abandon the place where God is leading us to be right now. Instead, we should be patiently waiting, asking the very simple question, what next, God? And when the cloud lifts, we take one more step forward. And I hinted at the second thing that I want to say, and that's about living in the here and now. The Israelites never knew how long they would be camped out in one place. But everywhere they went, the first thing that they did was to set up the tabernacle so that they could continue to worship and serve God. Whether they were staying there a day, a week, a month, or a year, they would set up the tabernacle. They would begin to worship and serve God. As we heard earlier, they didn't abandon their Jewish festivals, and even though they were in the wilderness, they still celebrated the Passover. In this wilderness experience they were having, whilst waiting for God to show them the next step, they never stopped worshipping him. They never stopped serving him. They might at times have moaned at him, but they never stopped doing the things that God was leading them to do. As most of you know, I like to follow football. Recently in the news, there's been talk about a particular footballer who hasn't been playing to his full potential. The football pundits suspect another club has been in touch with his agent, and knowing that he won't be at the same club next season, he stopped working as hard, stopped caring about the views of the manager and the fans. And this has not just affected his own performance, it's affected the performance of the whole team. It's sometimes disheartening and very easy to give up as well when the future ahead of us is unclear and when we're unsure whether our present situation will remain the same or whether change is round the corner. We might think, actually, what's the point in continuing to do the things that I'm doing now if it's only going to change a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the line? But it's important that we continue to worship and serve God wherever we find ourselves, however temporary that might feel, and however much we hope for a different future. In your personal life, you may be dissatisfied with work. You may be looking to change job. Or you might want to move house to live in a new place. There might be changes approaching in your family situation, with children growing up, Phil hinted at that earlier, looking forward to a time where perhaps they have their evenings back. We need to be faithful in living in the here and now, seeing each moment as an opportunity to worship and serve God and not get too far ahead of ourselves. Esther and I are looking forward to a time where there will be more sleep. As Megan grows up and eventually learns to sleep through the night. But actually, I refuse to let that desire for more sleep ruin the wonderful experiences we are having with her in the here and now, because we won't get these times back. As a church, we've been thinking and talking a lot recently about vision and what could be different in the future. But actually, we need to celebrate all the great stuff that God is already doing in this church now. Whatever the vision for the future, God is calling us to worship him and serve him here and now in the places that we find ourselves, doing the things that we're doing. And then finally, I think this passage teaches us to be prepared as we seek God's guidance for the future. In this story from Numbers chapter 9, the Israelites never knew how long they would be camped out in one place. As I said earlier, it could be a couple of days, it could just be one night, it could be a month, it could have been a year. Wherever they went, they set up the tabernacle and continued to worship God. But whilst they were willing to settle for as long a period as God guided them to, they were also ready and prepared to move as soon as that cloud lifted. The tabernacle in this picture here was purposefully designed to be portable. There was a lot of stuff to transport, but it was relatively easy and simple to set up and to pack away when needed. You can see it's made out of things that could be taken apart and then put back together. By the end of 40 years in the wilderness, I'm sure they would have been experts in packing away and setting up the tabernacle every time God wanted them to move. They knew exactly what they needed to do to keep in step with God. They were always prepared. They also would have spent a lot of time just watching the cloud, I would guess, as well, to see when the cloud moved. They wouldn't have wanted to miss it. They wanted to be obedient to God, ready to take the next step that he had in store for them. As individuals, we should always be prepared for God to move us on from where we currently are. This might be a practical move, or it might be a spiritual move. It might be a move of God taking us from one physical place to another, or it might be a time of spiritual growth, God wanting us to move forward in our relationship with him. Practically, I used the example earlier of seeking a career move, maybe. If that's something that's on your mind, there are practical steps you can take to prepare for that. Writing your CV, exploring possible job opportunities, knowing the impact that might have on your family life, whether that's going to involve a house move as well. It's entirely reasonable to prepare by looking into these things, to prepare for the future so that when that cloud lifts and God makes an opportunity clear, you're ready to make a move. Spiritually, God might be leading us to move forward in faith by taking on a new role within the life of the church, or by growing in some of the gifts that he's given us. We might prepare for that in prayer, by going on a retreat, by speaking to someone who has already done that role or that thing that we want to develop, by seeking some spiritual guidance from someone. These are ways we can prepare ourselves for the future. As a church, we need to be prepared for the future that God has in store for us, so that when an opportunity presents itself, we are able to move quickly as a church. Whilst we want to wait for God to guide us, and we recognize that could take 1 year, it could take 4 years, it could take 5 years to fulfill this vision of being present in the center of the community, we also want to be prepared because we don't want to miss out on the opportunities that God has in store. As I said earlier, a vision of being present in the center of the village might take a while, but it might be something that happens much sooner. We need to be prepared so that we are ready for the next step. This might involve practical things such as doing some of the stuff we're already doing, building up partnerships within the local community, speaking to the parish council, the honeycomb, various other groups. It might involve keeping a close eye on what opportunities are arising in the local area that we could join in with. It might involve getting our house in order as a church, knowing how much, I don't know, money we have available to invest in a new project, knowing some of the legal things that we might need to know to make something happen. These are the kind of preparations we need to make so that when God guides us, we are ready to take the next step and ready to move. But this also involves spiritual preparation, investing as a church in praying for our local community, praying for the different opportunities arising, praying for the needs of our community around us, hearing from people working in our community what those needs actually are, and then seeking God as to whether he has any part for us to play in that. I'm not saying we are going to make a big move anytime soon as a church. What I'm saying is we need to seek God for the next step, that we need to continue to serve him here and now where we are. But we also need to be prepared so that when God says, take that next step, move forward, that we're ready to do that. So this passage teaches us three important lessons about allowing God to guide us. The first is that God tends to guide us one step at a time. So often we want to rush straight to the destination, or we at least want to see the end goal and a 10-point plan of how we will get there. But actually, God so often works in next steps. Rather than asking God where he's leading us, I think we should be asking God, what next? The second lesson is to continue to serve God here and now. The Israelites had a whole new land promised to them, but they continue to worship and serve God in the wilderness. However difficult the present day, however bright a different future might look, we should continue to live for God today. Then finally, we should be prepared and ready to move as soon as God leads us on. The Israelites lived this portable lifestyle in the wilderness. They were practiced in packing up camp and moving to the next destination. They knew exactly how to take the tabernacle apart and put it back together. And they were ready to go as soon as the cloud lifted. And so are we ready and prepared for God to move us on when he's ready to do that? Take one step at a time. Serve God and worship him here and now. And be prepared and ready for when God is going to move us on.